Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show in May. This is the 23rd. I'm your morning show host, Phil Huff. This is KRFY, and we have a great show about summer trail programs coming up. But to get right into it, we've got Jason Welker with the Pendre Peddlers. We're going to be talking about trails and trail programs and upcoming events, and Rolls Olson with the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. Good morning, Jason. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Rose.
Good morning.
So thanks for joining us on this sunny morning when you could be out doing a little bike riding or hiking. But it's fun to see you in the studio. Let's get into introductions. Jason, we're going to start with you first and go through some of the basics for our listeners who haven't heard you before. We do have new people tuning in all the time.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with Pendre Peddlers.
Yeah. My name is Jason Welker. I'm the executive director of Pendre Peddlers, which is Sandpoint's local cycling club and one of the trails organizations in town. We're lucky to have several great trails organizations in Sandpoint. I've been a resident of Sandpoint full-time for about 6 years, but I've called this place home for almost 20 now since my wife and I got our first little cabin up on Schweitzer. And I actually moved to Sandpoint because of a trail, which is honestly a true story. In 2015, Pendre Peddlers put in what is currently the Lower Basin Blue Trail below Schweitzer and the roundabout up there along Schweitzer Mountain Road. And my cabin up on Schweitzer was right at the top of that trail. And when that trail was built about 8 years ago, I was back here for a summer from an international teaching job that I was doing. And it kind of blew my mind. And after I started riding that trail, it became a goal of my family's to call this place home full time. In no small part because of the burgeoning trail scene back then. So I moved back here full-time 6 years ago, quickly got involved as a volunteer and a board member with Pendre Peddlers. And about 3 years ago, my position was created because there was a lot of momentum and opportunity for new trail development in the area. On Pine Street Woods, for example, was brand new at the time. So in March of 2020, right at the beginning of the pandemic, I assumed this role as executive director. And since then, Pendre Peddlers has built around 16 miles of new trail in the Sandpoint area on private property, Schweitzer property, and most recently the city of Sandpoint's property in the Little Sand Creek watershed. And I'll be talking more about that later today because that's the most exciting project we have coming up in the next few years.
Yeah, lots of fun stuff to talk about, not only this summer, but the future, of course. Rose, welcome to the show. First time in the morning show's hot seat there at the far end of the table. Relatively new to the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. Give us a little deeper dive in your background, since our listeners are just meeting you over the radio audio waves for the first time.
Yeah, well, how far back should I go, Phil?
I've always found the best stories start at the beginning.
Okay, well, I grew up in Idaho, and I've been in Idaho nearly my whole life. Grew up in Hayden and went to school down in Moscow and lived down there for about 7 or 8 years or so, where I got my degree in environmental science. And I worked at the Moscow Food Co-op there for nearly that whole time to get through school, and kind of taught myself how to bake. I was the bakery manager down there. And when we left Moscow, he's my husband now. He wasn't at the time. We did some traveling and knew we wanted to end up back in Idaho and landed in Sandpoint in 2016. So we've been here about 7 years. And I quickly got involved, actually, with the Pendre Peddlers as well. So I've been on the trails around the area for 7 years, 7+. And let's see, when I first got to Sandpoint, I worked at Winter Ridge and I was the food production manager there and oversaw the bakery, the deli, and the meat department, which was a pretty big job. And from there, I went to Wildwood Grilling, where it's not a restaurant. A lot of people think it's a restaurant, but we actually made cedar grilling planks. So if you've ever had cedar plank salmon, chances are good. That's cedar grilling plank. So from there, I was always kind of looking for something with a more environmental twang to get back to my passion of environment and community. And this job at Friends of Scotchman Peaks opened up as the was communications and engagement manager, and it seemed kind of like a perfect fit. So I've been here since March, and I've been doing kind of a mix of digital media, marketing, and fundraising. I'm sure there'll be some trail work and hiking in there too. We're a small team. It's a many hats kind of role, and I'm excited for the summer.
That's a great story. And you're also involved with some other trail organizations, although you'll be here representing, talking about the Friends programs. Tell us more about how intertwined you are that way with the community.
Yeah. So I actually work with Jason quite a bit. When did I start coaching for the youth program,
Jason? This is probably your third year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been coaching the youth mountain bike program with Pondere Peddlers for 3 years now, and I've also been coaching the Youth Nordic program, I think, for 3 years as well. So I'm at Pine Street Woods all the time.
And Rose, aren't you also a board member of the Nordic Club
now? I'm also a board member of the Nordic Club, yeah. So, and I'm on one of POP's volunteer committees,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
It's a small town. There's a few people wearing many hats for many different groups.
And for the record, I work for the Nordic Club as well. I'm also a groomer, which at one point was a volunteer job, but a couple of winters ago, they started paying us to groom those ski trails in Pine Street Woods.
Well, that's good.
So one of my favorite things to do is get out there at 6 a.m. before anybody's out there in the woods and groom those freshly snowed upon trails in Pine Street Woods, which are obviously free to the community, a real gift from the Nordic Club.
Yeah, it's quite a big job. We appreciate that. Thank you.
And it would feel remiss not to mention Kinnickzee Land Trust in the same conversation.
Yeah. Well, not formally a trails organization. It's the KLT property on which our kind of town trails are located. So a lot of people don't know, but the 16 miles of trails in the Syringa Trail System are all on private property. So Kinnickzee Land Trust is the largest landowner in there. There's also two local families or couples that own the additional 220 acres. So we've got 400 acres of free accessible trails right on the edge of town, all on private property. So we're really blessed to have access to the KLT property along with the adjacent properties over there in the Syringa system.
What a great resource. And since we're talking organizations, that's a good segue back to give us a little bit more involved background with both organizations. We'll start, Jason, since you're on a roll with the Pondere Peddlers. How did the Pondere Peddlers get started? What's the focus, mission, and where are things at with it today?
Yeah, good question. And in fact, I've had to do some background research in just the last few months because over the winter, POP adopted our first ever strategic plan. And part of the strategic planning document included a kind of historical background of the club. So from what I can tell, the organization was actually formed as a 501c3 nonprofit in 2007. There was a local cycling club prior to that, going back to at least 2004, which eventually became the Pondere Peddlers. We were really just a cycling, like a social cycling club for those first several years. There was really no trail development. And the emphasis was on road cycling as much as it was on mountain biking. But mountain biking in the North Idaho region 20 years ago was very different than it is today. A lot of it took place on, you know, the rugged trails of the Selkirks or the Cabinets, along with some of the local trails like Mineral Point and Gold Hill, which we still love to ride today. But we didn't have the trails in the Syringa system. We didn't have a watershed trail network like we're working on now. So that brings us to around 2012 when the Sherwood Forest property, one of those three properties in Pine Street Woods, was acquired by a new family. And POP was invited to come build some of the trails in there. So today there's around 5 or 6 miles of trails in Sherwood Forest, which is just one of those three Syringa properties that POP built started in around 2012. Of course, local trail lovers know that Pine Street Woods opened officially in late 2019, and it was in 2020 that POP built most of the trails that are in Pine Street Woods today. And then in 2020, the adjacent property VTT, or Vela Tout Terrain, was purchased. That's the 100 acres just south of Pine Street Woods. And by that point, I was on board as executive director, and there was just crazy amount of new trail development happening. So starting in 2012, we became a trail building organization. 2015, as I mentioned earlier, was when we built that trail in the lower basin on city property. But since 2019, 2020, we've really just been building lots of new trail, and the emphasis has grown from just being a social cycling club to being a trails advocacy and trail building organization. And now we work with lots of private and public land managers to advocate for and hopefully develop and build new trails for mountain bikers, for hikers. And yeah, that's kind of how we've evolved from the little cycling club that would do social rides once a week to a very large, almost 800 member organization that has over 30 local business sponsors and really does a lot of work in the community beyond trails as well, which I'll talk about some of that later.
What a great evolution. And we'll want to come back to later on in the show about where it's all headed, where it continues to grow. Mm-hmm. And so we'll hold that thought for now. But Rose, give us a little bit of background on the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness.
Sure. Yeah, the Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness is, we're a community-driven nonprofit group who kind of formed in around 2005. And the purpose for our existence is just to try to get the Scotchman Peaks area designated as an official wilderness area. Right now, it's just a proposed wilderness and is managed as a roadless area. And so we're working to advocate for a congressional wilderness designation, which takes a lot. And we are proud to say we recently got our 11,000th friend for Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, which
it's amazing.
Yeah, thanks. It's a pretty big achievement. So most of those people are in the Libby, Sandpoint area. We kind of traverse three different counties across Idaho and Montana. So we're in Bonner County in Idaho, Sanders County and Lincoln County in Montana. So we cover a pretty broad range. And yeah, it's exciting that we have now, we're 11,000 strong officially. I'm sure we have more lurkers out there who don't want to sign up, but sign up if you are one of those.
Oh, good. Thank you. Lots of stuff going on with both organizations, so that's what we're here to focus in on this morning, is what's coming up this summer for activities for trail projects in particular, but also experiences, educations, classes, events, you name it, whatever is happening. And so we'll break this down a little bit deeper, dive into that area again by organization. Jason, we're seeming to go in a ping pong back and forth. So the ping pong ball's on your side of the table now.
So we're specifically programs or projects or activities or what?
Whatever you got coming up.
All right. So actually what we're really, really excited about right now, this is a project that's been ongoing for years, at least 6 years. In fact, a former board member visited my house a couple weeks ago and brought me some old print documents from, I don't know when exactly, probably around 2015, 2016, describing the project that is actually about to come to fruition next month. And that is a watershed recreation master plan. So listeners may know that the basin in around or below Schweitzer Mountain, between Baldy Mountain and the backside of Schweitzer, is our little Sand Creek watershed. And what that means is actually we as a city get about 40% of our drinking water from the little Sand Creek. And if you drive up Schweitzer Mountain Road, you'll see a little city facility on the left there. That's our drinking water treatment plant. So there's a reservoir that you'll never see because it's tucked way down in the canyon there, up about a quarter mile upstream from that drinking water treatment plant. But the land around that creek is around 7,800 acres of mostly public land. And the largest land owner in there is actually the city of Sandpoint. There's also Bureau of Land Management, State of Idaho, Forest Service, and then very little amount of private land, mostly owned by Schweitzer, the ski resort. So since at least 2016, probably earlier, there's been an effort to open the watershed to recreation officially. Now, unofficially, there has been trails in the what we call the lower basin of the watershed going back to probably the 90s. So recreation has been happening there. Most of those trails were built by mountain bikers. Only in 2015 did the city permit a trail to be built officially, and that was the trail that motivated me to move back here full time, what we call the Lower Basin Blue Trail. And now we are at a point where the city itself has made it a strategic priority to formally adopt a recreation plan for that 8,000 acres of land in our watershed. What that means is we've brought on consulting firms, we've brought on trail planning organizations, specifically the International Mountain Biking Association Trail Solutions Team. And the city actually hired somebody with great experience with recreation master plans and trails in particular. And that's our city parks planner, Maeve Nevins Louder, who has been an amazing partner over the last 2 years since she came onto the city. So Pondere Peddlers have been at the forefront, along with Kinnexu Land Trust and the Nordic Club, collaborating with the city on this recreation master plan. The draft of it was actually posted to the city's website yesterday. So if listeners are interested in seeing the draft of this about 62-page recreation master plan, it was shared via the city's Facebook page yesterday, City of Sandpoint on Facebook. So you can follow a link, and there's actually a form on the city's website where listeners and community members can give feedback on some of the visions in this recreation master plan. Now, what it means specifically for Pondere Peddlers is once the master plan is adopted, it includes around 40 to 50 miles of new proposed trails in the watershed. Once that plan is formally adopted by City Council, hopefully on June 7th, the Pondere Peddlers are going to continue working towards building more trails in the watershed. But what we won't have to do over the next several years is go forward to the city with each new trail proposed and go through the sometimes year-long process of getting individual trail segments proposed. Once we've adopted a 40-mile trail master plan, we've basically overcome that major approval hoop that we normally would have had to jump through, and we can go straight to the fundraising and to the coordination and to the design and construction phases. So the planning phase is what we're about to come to the end of. Whole recreation plan.
It's an exciting project. I think I remember seeing an early draft of that plan around 2014 or 15 being circulated around to a few folks for input. And
it was around that time that the Pondere Peddlers, along with some key city council members and then later Mayor Rongstad, advocated for the Watershed Crest Trail, which is included in the Watershed Recreation Master Plan, along with a more robust build out of what we call the Lower Basin Trails. So the existing trails east of Schweitzer Mountain Road, there's a lot of new, some bike optimized, some hiker oriented trails throughout the entire watershed, not just that vision of a single epic Watershed Crest Trail, which is also included.
That combination is so powerful, though. I mean, the epic trail really puts a marketing signature on the map for Sandpoint as far as the destination goes, but then the Watershed Crest Trails provide such an active area for, you know, the whole community.
Yeah. And if I could just comment on that idea of the epic trail and kind of the iconic, almost something Sandpoint could become known for. Just two examples of communities really close to us that are literally known for a trail. That's Whitefish, Montana, which has the Whitefish Trail. It's a 43-mile epic linear trail that almost completely circumnavigates Whitefish Lake now. And they're still building that out to ultimately have an over 50-mile connected loop from the ski resort all the way around the lake through the lands west of the lake and then back to the ski resort. My family makes at least one trip a year to go ride on the Whitefish Trail. It's a huge economic driver for the town of Whitefish. A 2018 study showed that over $7 million a year in business revenue comes in directly because of the Whitefish Trail. Another one that mountain bikers are familiar with is the Seven Summits Trail in Rosslyn, British Columbia. That's been it's an official IMBA epic trail that since probably the early 2000s at least, mountain bikers from all over North America have traveled to the tiny town of Rosslyn, British Columbia to go experience the Seven Summits Trail. We think the Watershed Crest Trail could be on the scale of the Seven Summits or the Whitefish Trail in terms of an economic driver and something iconic that trail lovers will actually travel long distances to Sandpoint to experience.
Really, really exciting. Will the planning be at a stage this summer where there's going to actually be some movement of dirt on the ground?
Yes. And in fact, we've put in our work plan for the year a couple weeks ago, and we're just waiting to get approval from the city to begin some improvements to some existing trails, plus a new trail segment this summer in the Lower Basin. The Watershed Crest Trail is probably a few more years out. We're going to be focusing on the kind of build out, we call it, of the existing Lower Basin Trail network in the next couple of years. Most recently in October last year, we opened a new 2.3-mile, it's a multi-directional cross-country trail below the fourth switchback on Schweitzer Mountain Road. And that was a year and a half long trail construction project. And we're going to basically carry that momentum forward in 2023, focusing on some of the downhill oriented trails for mountain bikers. And then in June, mid-June, the International Mountain Bike Association will be back in town to flag the next trail that we hope to begin building in spring of 2024.
So there'll be regular trail days that club members come out on or people can sign up for. Can non-members come and help?
Yeah, sure. We're almost 2 months into our trail work season right now. And as a member organization, as a volunteer organization, we do most of our maintenance and a lot of our construction, like new trail construction, with volunteer labor. So for the last 7 weeks, I think, we've been having volunteer trail work parties every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. We started out in the Syringa system. We've moved into the lower basin, the watershed now, and we're actually going back to the Syringa system this week. So if listeners are interested in joining us, we are meeting in the Pine Street Woods parking lot this Thursday at 5:30 to do some work in the VTT property, which is just south of Pine Street Woods. So we do post on our Instagram and our Facebook weekly with that week's trail work location. And sometimes it's not decided until, you know, a few days beforehand where exactly we're going to be taking volunteers. But we do volunteer trail work parties weekly for most of the season from April through end of October. We sometimes take the month of July off because that tends to be the driest, hottest month. Yeah. People would rather be hanging out at City Beach than swinging a shovel in dirt at 6 p.m. on a hot Thursday night.
Yeah. And you'll be working on that brand new trail in Pine Street Woods, which is so fun to ride.
Yeah, actually VTT. Oh, so the new trail that we just opened about 2 weeks ago is called Cracker Pants in honor of the property owner's deceased beloved golden retriever. And we do have a volunteer night in there this week to do some improvements to that trail.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's shift over to Rose and talk about trail projects, and then we can come back to other events. Tell us what the Friends have planned this summer for trail projects.
Yeah, and I'm actually not the official trail person. Joel, who's our program coordinator, is up in Powell doing a wilderness skills workshop program thing. I did some quick studying right before this to be able to tell you guys about our trail projects this summer. So we are just coming into our trail project season, and our first trail project day is actually June 3rd. No, it's, sorry, this Saturday, May 27th, up at Star Peak. And we're kicking off the season. We do a trail project nearly every Friday or Saturday through the summer, through September. I think it looks like somewhere around 18 trail projects this summer. And we also do guided hikes, and those are all volunteer-led projects as well. So I think we have around 14 guided hikes this summer. Scotchman Peaks is definitely the star of the show, and I'm ashamed to admit I have yet to hike Scotchman Peak. I was glad it wasn't a requirement for this job. Jason's looking at me dumbfounded right now.
I haven't hiked it in about 15 years, so maybe you and I can plan a hike.
Okay.
Did you bring your hiking boots today? Maybe right after this.
No, I brought my mountain biking shoes today, though.
Yeah, but she's coaching.
Priorities. And you can find all of our trail project days and hiking days on our website. We have a handy hiking and events tab, and they're all listed out through the whole summer. So I know for me, I have to plan my summer like in April. And so if you still have room in your schedule, there might be a trail project day that works out for you.
And there's also a trail ambassador program. Tell us
more about that. Trail ambassador program. That's one of our more exciting volunteer programs that we do. So the trail ambassador program is a volunteer opportunity up at Scotchman Peak Trail. It's a singular peak when you're talking about the mountain, but Scotchman Peaks when you're talking about the area. I have to remind myself that all the time. So the Trail Ambassador Program, many of you probably know Scotchman Peak is a haven for mountain goats. And mountain goats love salt. And when you get to the top of the mountain, you yourself are so salty. You probably have potato chips, all kinds of salt happening. And so the Trail Ambassador Program is an educational opportunity for hikers in the area we're gently educating them to stay away from the mountain goats. The goal being eliminating mountain goat human disasters, I guess. And so the Trail Ambassador Program, it's easy. You sign up. It's a one-day commitment where all you do is hang out on the Scotchman Peak Trail. You could be in the parking lot. You could go midway up and park yourself in a shady spot or hang out at the top. And you're just there to gently educate other hikers not to let the mountain goats lick you.
It doesn't seem like it should be, but it's so necessary to remind people, no, it's a bad idea to take a selfie with a goat. You wouldn't do that with a bear, would you?
No, definitely not. Or a bison, or any horned animal, really.
Yeah, unless you want to become a meme on Instagram. Yeah, right.
Of which there are plenty.
Yeah.
And this is important for many reasons, one of which being keeping that trail open. In 2015, there actually was a human-goat mishap, and the Forest Service ended up closing the trail for the rest of the season to let the mountain goats kind of rehabitate and get less familiar with humans. So since then, since we've started our trail ambassador program, something's working because there have been zero human mountain goat accidents since then.
Well, that's good. That's a good segue. We're going to take a short music break. If you've just tuned in, we're talking about summer trail programs this morning with the executive director of the Ponderay Peddlers, Jason Welker, and the communications and engagement manager for the Friends of Scotchman Peaks, Rose Olson. We're going to take a break, listen to a little Jimi Hendrix to wake everybody up on this morning.
Yeah.
Come back and talk a little bit more about upcoming events and other activities for the summer. Hang on. Jimi Hendrix, are you experienced? And now you can get experienced in about, 40 of the states?
Heck yeah.
Yeah. But we're talking about trails experiences this summer. Welcome back to the morning show. I'm your host, Phil Huff, with Jason Welker, Rose Olson from the Ponderay Peddlers and Friends of Scotchman Peaks. We're talking summer trails. It's summer already, almost. It feels like it. Most days this week, we're supposed to hit in the high 70s. And isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, except we love rain in the trails world. When you're building a new trail, you need rain. So we'll bring it on.
Intermittent rain, a few days here and there, and then let it dry out for good riding. So we've been talking about the trail programs, and we're going to turn a little bit now to upcoming events, unless there's anything in terms of trail projects or trail-specific programs we missed. Both organizations have a lot of different activities, ways for people to engage and get some of the trail experience. And so let's shift to that. What kinds of experiences each one offer? Mm-hmm. And Jason, we'll start with you.
Yeah. So we, like I said, you know, we started as a cycling club and we are still a cycling club. So one thing I really need to mention, because I know some of our ride leaders are probably listening, we do weekly bike rides still, at least two a week, in fact. So the two I'd like to highlight are the Tuesday evening mountain bike rides, which are open to any mountain bikers, especially the more intermediate and beginner riders. We really make these open to anybody in the community. And these are led by one of our board members, Steve Sanchez, who is a regular listener of the morning show.
Yeah, go Steve.
So Steve, if you're listening out there, thank you for leading these weekly rides and being so accommodating and welcoming to a lot of new people to the Sandpoint community. It's a great way to meet some local riders and get an introduction to our local trail systems. So to find out about these, you can follow Ponderay Peddlers on all the social media. And, of course, if you join the organization, you get our weekly newsletter with more information about those rides. We also have a really avid road cycling group in this community that is currently doing weekly rides on Saturday mornings and monthly rides on Thursday evenings. So you can find out more about the road cycling group on our webpage, PondereyPeddlers.org. So the cycling activities are still really alive and well and a defining part of what we're doing. Coming up, we have the we don't organize it, but one of the biggest cycling events in North Idaho is the Chafe Grand Fondo, which is June 17th. I'm looking at Phil because Ponderay Peddlers are a sponsor and a supporter of the Chafe event, which is actually organized by the Sandpoint Rotary Club. And Pop and the Friends, Rose might be there, will be partnering at an aid station in Clark Fork, that 150-mile road ride that makes its way through North Idaho and western Montana. So the Chafe is on June 17th. And if you'll allow me, Phil, I've got to announce one event that is very significant and important for Pop, and it's actually in conjunction with the Chafe. So the night before Chafe, on June 16th, Pop will be hosting a movie premiere event at the Panada, right across the street here. And that is for a film by a Canadian company called Ant Hill Films. They've made some of the most iconic mountain bike films over the years. And this one is not just a mountain bike film. It's called The Engine Inside, and it's actually the story of how bicycles have transformed the lives or communities in six different places around the world. So it's a global film endeavor, this movie, which we are one of the dozen or so world premiere events We're really lucky to have gotten a premiere. This film cannot be watched on YouTube or downloaded on Amazon. You can only see it at the Panada on June 16th. So I really encourage listeners who are interested in bicycles and interested in the community and culture around cycling to go to Panada.org and get their tickets for this film event on June 16th. And this is a fundraiser. All proceeds will go towards Pondre Pedalers' effort to build the first ever public bike park in Sandpoint. So we are actually partnering with the city, not just on the Watershed Trail plan, but on a skills park in the Traverse Complex. People might have heard about the development, the improvements to Traverse Park that are coming in the next year. One of those improvements is actually to the little dirt bike track there, where Pop is going to be building a modern mountain bike skills course, which with some really awesome steel and wood features that we're ordering this summer. So that the proceeds from the movie night on June 16th will go towards about our $60,000 budget for that skills park project in Traverse Park.
Another amazing project. And I assume it's a great night to have that movie since there'll be a lot of cyclists in town, but you're not doing it so all the competitors get really tired the night before and you're the only one
who gets up early. No, and the chafe organizers would tell you it's not a race. So go be part of the community. That I think they're going to be putting a little flyer with the registration packet when people check in for the race on Friday afternoon. For the ride, sorry, not a race. Hopefully a lot of those chafe cyclists will come to the Panada as well. We really want a packed house. That's going to be a fun night. I have not seen the film. I will not see it until Friday the 16th.
Yeah.
It's literally a premiere event. So it's super exciting. Tickets are $20, panada.org. And of course, there will be the usual raffle fundraiser opportunities to make the night a little bit more exciting.
And I understand you, at least right now, also have classes going on.
Yeah, we have youth programs. And I don't promote those too much on the radio because like almost all youth programs in Sandpoint, they are extremely popular.
Yeah.
And we usually have waiting lists. So when registration opened on April 1st, our youth programs for the year pretty much filled up within the first few days.
Wow.
So we do offer three sessions. This is this is the program that Rose is one of our coaches for. We currently are in the middle of our 5-week spring after school program, 4 days a week. We have about 40 kids participating right now. In the summer, we'll have 2 full weeks of summer camps, which take advantage of lots of the area trails, 3 different difficulty levels, beginner through advanced. And we'll have 64 kids participating in our summer program, and then we'll be back to fall after school programs in September and October. We do have some openings in our fall after school programs still. So if listeners have kids between the ages of 7 and 12, and they're interested in participating in a POP program, you can find more information on our website. We did this year, for the second year, offer bike scholarships and grants. We have actually already granted 15 brand new Trek mountain bikes.
And the bikes are so cool.
Yeah, they are really good bikes. And I have to thank Jenny at Outdoor Experience for hooking us up with some super high quality Trek mountain bikes at cost.
Nice.
So that's another exciting program. We've been able to reach some of the more underserved kids in our community who probably wouldn't have the opportunity to get into mountain biking by offering them free mountain bikes along with a scholarship to one of our programs. And I have to thank the Lighthouse Giving Committee, which is supporting that program, and the Sandpoint cycling community who came out to our big fundraiser last summer where we raised $9,000 to purchase those bikes with. So we'll be doing scholarships again next year. Unfortunately, they're all given out this year already. Mm-hmm. But in 2024, we'll come back with hopefully 15 new bike grants and scholarships to expand the opportunities to become a mountain biker to kids in our community who, you know, may not have that opportunity without such support.
Mm-hmm. What a wonderful program. Hard act to follow, Rose, but that's your task. So tell us about the experiences that the Friends of Scotchman Peaks have coming up.
Well, we've got all kinds of experiences. First one coming up, one of my favorite activities, trash pickup along the highway.
Yes, believe it or not, we know at least one person listening, they and their family often come out to our trash pickups, and hopefully they have signed up, Steve.
May 26th, which is this Friday, we'll be meeting at Annie's Orchard out in Clark Fork, and Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, we have a 2-mile stretch of Adopt a Highway out there, and so come on out. The weather should be perfect for picking up trash. You can find more info about that on our website. But yeah, that's this Friday. Come pick up trash with us. And next week is June 3rd is National Trail Day. There's all kinds of stuff happening at our local trails. But we will be at Utara having a pint night, just trail celebration. That's next Saturday at 4 o'clock. And then just kind of scattered throughout our trail projects and hikes. Some of those are themed. Some of them are just hikes, but some notable fun ones coming up. June 25th, we've got a wildlife ID and tracking hike near the Bull River area along Dry Creek. We've also got a foraging hike and what else? Nature drawing out at Big Spar Trail. That's in July. There's hiking with kids. There's a fishing, camping. I don't think there's biking is involved with that. I think it's just fishing, camping.
No and bikes hiking. In proposed
no,
wilderness.
No
areas.
Bikes. Yeah, sorry,
yeah.
Jason.
Yeah.
We'll keep that in the watershed.
It's okay. There's plenty of trail for everybody. Yeah.
Another thing that I'd like to plug, our online auction that we host every year is coming up June 8th. And this is one of our biggest online fundraisers, and we use the proceeds from that to fund all of these trail work programs. And yeah, we really count on that auction to push forward all of our trail work through the summer. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, and then the annual celebration in July.
Oh, State of the Scotchman's. That's our annual celebration. And this will be my first time attending, so I don't have any fun details really to tell you about it, but it's in July. There'll be music and food and community.
Where's that, Rose?
It's at the it'll be the third year at the Blue Heron Ranch, the Sea Ranch, just across the Idaho-Montana line on the left. It's Chris Compton's place, right up at the foot of the Scotchman's. Ever a great area to hold a party, and it'll be a big party as always with bands and music and food and lots of festivities.
Yeah, great. Hey, Phil, can I just comment on one thing here?
Sure.
Listening to this conversation today, it makes me really kind of thankful and aware about the role of nonprofits in our community here. So, you know, people who come to North Idaho know that there's just trails everywhere. Well, those trails are there because of organizations like ours. And what I'm thinking about is kind of the distinction between friends and groups like the Idaho Trails Association, who really steward those kind of backcountry trails, those more rugged high mountain trails that you know, people who are up for a grand adventure in the mountains can get out and enjoy. Whereas groups like Pondre Peddlers and the Nordic Club, we really steward and take care of those front country trails that you can hit in the morning before work or after work in the evening, put a headlamp on and go out for an evening cross country ski or go for a bike ride before dinner. You know, it's really important, and we're really blessed to have access to both those front country trails on our doorstep, you know, a mile from the city boundary over on Syringa, or 2 miles from town in the lower basin and the Little Sand Creek watershed, or you've got those kind of weekend or week-long adventures up in the high mountains. So you know, just having those kind of front country and back country trail experiences, and then having these nonprofits that are stewards of all of those trail experiences.
Yeah, that's a great observation and a really good segue into the last part of the program this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about resources for folks who are coming in, who may be new to the area or new to one of the sports and want to get out there and do more. Any either suggestions for where to go for information on front country, back country trails, or maybe tell us about, well, we already know, Jason, your favorite one. So maybe your second favorite experience.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I mean, I won't deny it. Pondre Peddlers are really focused on the mountain bike trail experience. And as much as I love doing the weekend backpacking trip or, you know, once every 15 years climbing the Scotchman, because that's all my thighs and legs can handle. But actually, I really do want to get back up Scotchman. My favorite trails are just those front country trails right there in the Syringa system, because I can hop on my bike from my house in South Sandpoint, or, you know, if I want to take my dog, it's a 3-minute drive to Greta Segway or to the VTT or Pine Street Woods parking lots. And I can go out and ride 8 to 10 miles, which is an hour and 20 minutes on my bike. But that to me is just the most joyful way to experience the trails close to town. And since Pop has been building trails in there, we've got trails of every difficulty level. You know, seriously, there's some super technical black diamond downhill only mountain bike trails in the VTT system, or you go into Pine Street Woods, you've got trails like Butterfly and Owl and Pinecone, which are these lovely rolling green trails built at a gentle grade. And that's why we're able to do things like youth mountain biking programs, because we can progress from the most beginner kid who's probably never ridden a bike out of his cul-de-sac in town to, you know, people way better than me who are willing to go, you know, shred some of those steep black tech trails. So we've really got something for everybody. So my favorite trails are just the VTT Syringa Pine Street Woods Trail Network, where I can go get in an hour and 15 minute ride with my dog any time of the day.
It's like a little snack, a trail snack.
Yeah, a trail snack. That's a good way.
And then there's plenty of the backcountry trails, of course.
Someone new to town, where do they find information out about that? Is there a website or a
If you're not on social media, our website is Pondere Peddlers. That's Pondere like the lake, not the town. So if you know the French spelling, Peddlers is PEDALERS.org. And we've got links to all of our resources there. There's actually a local trails page on our website with maps, detailed maps for like all the trails a mountain biker might want to experience in the whole North Idaho region. So if you're new to the region, you've got a mountain bike and you want to know where to ride, we're probably the best local resource for mountain bikers. And then, of course, on all the socials, you got the Instagram and the Facebook. We update those very regularly with information about our events, our activities, our volunteer trail work parties, and just generally mountain biking and trail stoke for the region.
Rose, let's turn to you for hiking resources for the Scotchman's and beyond.
You know, it's kind of the same story as Pondere Peddlers. You can check out our website, scotchmanpeaks.org. We've got a hiking and events tab there that details all of our trails and events through the summer. And we also have all kinds of maps and detailed guides if you're interested in just a self-guided, you know, if a group hike's not your thing and you're just interested in exploring the area. We've got we've got maps and trail descriptions galore on the website. I also post, I'm the one who posts on Facebook and Instagram. So if you feel like messaging me via the Scotchman Peaks Instagram, it'll be me replying.
Well, there you have it. It'll be a direct reply.
So if you have a question, we post kind of trail updates. I rely on the Instagram community a lot for the knowing when the snow is cleared for the Scotchman Trailhead, and it is not yet, according to my social media resources. I think people are still hiking about a mile or two in, so that trail's still snowed in.
It is melting fast. I was at a meeting last Wednesday where the fish and game biologist present said that the snowpack had dropped from May 1 at 90% to 40% by May 16.
Wow.
And that's 40% of normal for May 16.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it's coming off fast. We can see the lakes and rivers rising, and you can look up Baldy, and it's almost time to put tomatoes out.
Yep.
I already put my tomatoes out. We'll see how they do.
Ever hopeful.
Yep.
Well, Rosa, before we go, a favorite trail or experience in the area?
You know, I have been thinking about that. My first, I will use a Scotchman Peak trail. I think a lot of people have been to the Ross Creek Cedars area, and I didn't realize that was contained within the Scotchman Peaks proposed wilderness area. And it's a little bit of a trek from here, but it's a beautiful old growth cedar grove trail. It's nice and flat. You can also bring your cross country skis in it in the winter and have a little adventure ski, but it's just a really beautiful area with huge cedars. It's nice and moist and shady all year round. So in the hot dog days of summer, that's where I'm going.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Well, we're about ready to close out the hour. Before we go, any final thoughts? Have we covered it all, or at least all enough for this morning?
I think so. Yeah, there's a lot going on. And if you're interested in meeting some, cycling friends and advocates, come to our monthly club meeting, which is actually the second Wednesday of every month at Matchwood Brewing at 5:30. So I believe we're about 2 weeks out from the next club meeting.
Not too far. Yeah.
Yeah. So come on out to a pop club meeting, even if you're not sure you want to join. You know, you're not sure you want to commit that $25 membership fee. We do have membership options going up to $150 with lots of cool swag as well. So yeah. Pop member meetings, and basically their social gatherings, second Wednesday of every month until October at Matchwood Brewing here in town.
Nice. Rose, you have the final word, as they say.
Oh, that's a lot of pressure. I'm just excited to get out on all the trails this summer, whether it's on foot, on my bike, front country, back country. I think I'm doing it all.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you both for coming and joining me in the studio this morning. For listeners who might have just tuned in, this will be available as a podcast later on today or tomorrow. We've been listening this morning to trails updates from the Pondere Peddlers, Jason Walker, and the Friends of Scotchman Peaks, Rose Olson. And we're going to take us out with a little bit of Wilco. So stay tuned after that. I'll be coming back with some updates on upcoming events.